So I want to talk to you about several things, but I was remembering an event that I had while we lived in Virginia Beach. It was a men's retreat, and I loved going to the men's retreat. There'd be 50 to 60 guys who would go to this event. And if you were new to the event, what you were told was you had to turn in a list of names of people in your family or people that were close to you, right? And the premise was they're going to be praying for you while you're at this retreat. Now, that was true. It just wasn't the whole truth. The part you didn't know was that at the end of the retreat, they're going to have you sit at the tables with all the other guys, right? And there were tables of six. And you're going to be handed an envelope. And inside the envelope were letters that were written by those people that you listed, those family members, those people who are close to you, that are best friends, that are mentoring you. And as they're reading the letters, all you can hear is a bunch of just tears, sniffles, and every single box of Kleenex was being used during that time, you know? Now, at the same time, they asked the leadership team to write letters to every man in the thing. So you can't write 60 different individual letters. So you write one letter and you give them to all 60. And sometimes that felt just a little bit vague, general, generic. And I'm guilty because I had to write some of those letters. I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say to a bunch of guys I don't know, you know? And so when I've been telling you that I've been stuck in the book of Colossians, and Paul is the writer of that letter to this group of people, and I asked myself the question, how did he write a bunch of people he didn't know? So he was in the same dilemma that I was in when I had to write the letter to these 60 guys. But I'm sure his letter, as you can tell, if you've read it, it's not generic, is it? Not at all. And so he had to ask the Holy Spirit, what do I specifically address to these people that I've never met, that I don't know, and especially in the mindset that I might be in because I'm in jail? And they're not. So what does he address? Well, see, there were some things that were going on at the time. There was a heresy going on, and there were three different things that were going on. One, there were people who came after those who started the church and began to add rules, Jewish rules from the Old Testament, to what they had to do. Is it not advancing? Make sure it's on. Check the time, a click or two. And so these, I'm going to mention the three rules. One was, well, one of the things they did is they added rules to the gospel. Number two, they made a claim that only some of them in the congregation could know God. And only if they were invited to be in a secret society. So they would say, oh, only the front row people get to be in that group. The rest of you, no, sorry, you're out. And then the third thing is they began to introduce angelic worship. So it no longer became about Jesus, but it became about other things as well. And that threw a lot of confusion into this group. So Paul began to correct that situation and said, you know what? Anyone can come to know Jesus or follow, know God by putting their faith in Jesus. And he said, it has nothing to do with rules. It has nothing to do with what you can do to get close to God. It has to do with what Jesus did that you get to know God. And so the question, and the other thing is, Paul said, Jesus is the only one worthy of our worship. And the same is true for all of us today, right? And so what is it that Jesus did that Paul communicated to these people? Well, if you were to look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and it'll be on the screen, I love what he says about us because it's dealing with our past. Because you know what? Does anyone have a past that sort of gets in the way of getting closer to God? Huh? But sometimes that, you know, slips in as a thought, a subtle thought. And so Paul says to these people, he says, I want you to know this, that Jesus canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. Jesus had the power to cancel that legal. It was true. It wasn't illegal. It was, you were up on the charges and you could have been prosecuted. But Jesus canceled it out. And he says, he erased it all. He erased all our sins. Do you feel at times where your sins have not all been erased? When you come in with condemning thoughts, condemning voices, that tells you things that are, you are less than, that you're not good enough? Well, he also said this. Not only says he erased it all, our sins, our stained soul, he deleted it all, and that cannot be retrieved. So in this case, there's a big delete button, and he hit it, and he hit it hard, and it canceled everything that you had against you. And not only that, he says, everything we once were, not we are sometimes, but everything we once were in Adam has been placed on his cross and nailed temporarily, permanently, forever, permanently as a public display. So the thing is, when we take communion today, we are looking at the cross and saying, there's the reminder that what has been done on my behalf has been paid in full and doesn't ever have to be paid again. That's good news. Don't you realize that? That's good news for you. So Paul, that's one of the things that Paul said to them. But what else did Paul tell them? Well, you have to start with, how did the Holy Spirit begin to Paul? How did he begin to speak to Paul? So Paul's asking questions, and Paul hears this from the Lord. He says, you are always and dearly loved by God, so robe yourself with virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. And what does love look like? Well, there are eight different things here that love would look like as far as how it's being practiced, how God has loved on us in a way. Now, Paul is declaring an absolute truth. And now we live in a society where this generation, the current generation, probably doesn't believe in absolutes. But the truth will never change, you see, because this truth is clear even if we haven't yet experienced it yet, right? It says here, you are always and dearly loved by God. Now, your circumstances may say to you, that's not really my current reality, Fernando. That's not my reality. I'm not feeling it in the moment, right? Have you ever said that to yourself? Said it out loud? So does that make it less true if you're not feeling it? See, oftentimes in our minds, what we do is we don't act on it because we don't feel it. But should our feelings determine whether we act on something that's true? And is it a good way to measure whether we should act or not act? Well, let's see what Jesus said about that. And if you were to look at Mark 4, 24, this is what Jesus said when he said about the words that he heard. And I'm reading a lot from the Passion Translation, so if it sounds a little unfamiliar, that's why. And here's what he said. Jesus said, be diligent to understand the meaning behind everything you hear. Who's responsible? I am. I'm to be diligent about everything I hear to understand what it means, right? And it says, for as you do, more understanding will be given to you. So the more diligent I am, the more understanding I will get. The less diligent I am, the less understanding I will get. And according to your longing to understand, much more will be added to you. So if you long for more, if you long to know more, if you long to understand more, then more will be added. But if you're indifferent about it, or you're hostile against it, you are determining to what degree you're going to understand what God is trying to tell you. Because God wants to tell you. And the thing is, what soil are you? Are you the rocky ground? Are you the thorns? Or are you the good soil? Who gets to decide? We do. We do. So you decide to get what you want out of it by what you want to invest into it. So I have a question. Did Paul make decisions based on his feelings? He didn't, right? Because he was in jail. And yet, it wasn't his current reality that he was dearly and always loved. Because, well, Lord, that must not be always, because right now I'm in jail. Right? He might have been moping and saying, you don't really love me. Otherwise, you wouldn't allow me to be in jail. And I'm following you. I gave everything for you. And he won't be saying to himself, or maybe he did, he said, why is it that people aren't writing me letters? I'm the one in jail, not them. Why aren't they writing me? Right? I'm the one. Why do I have to encourage them when they should be encouraging me? You know? And I'm in a jail. Hey, this jail is not the jail like you see in the U.S. I don't have any running water. I don't have a hot shower. I don't have three meals a day. I don't have a blanket and a bed and a mattress. I got none of that stuff. But I'm to encourage you. What's up with that, God? Did he say that? He didn't say that, did he? No. He didn't want to have a pity party. He just said, I have a truth that God is revealing to me while I'm in jail, thinking about what I'm going to tell a group of people I have never met. It's going to be hard to drum up feelings of empathy, sympathy for a group of people you've never met. So, what does he do? Well, before he can encourage them, he has to encourage himself. He has to review, where is God encouraging me? What is the good news in the midst of the fact that I'm sitting in this jail cell? And you know, it probably started out in a whisper that he heard the Holy Spirit say to him, you are always loved by God. 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 You are dearly loved by God. Where do you think he got that phrase from? Besides the fact that it was the Holy Spirit who spoke it. I think he might have gotten a clue from his friend Jerry. Do you know who Jerry is? Huh? You don't know who Jerry is? He's a real uplifting guy from the Old Testament. Jeremiah is his name, right? I just call him Jerry, right? And so Jerry, here's what Jerry said. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Right? That's what Jerry came up with under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So then after that, the Holy Spirit began to reveal, well, what does it mean to always be dearly loved? And so the Holy Spirit began to break it down for Paul as he's in the jail cell. And so he's talking to himself, right? You know, he's speaking to his own soul. And, you know, because he has to he has to encourage himself first before he can encourage someone else, right? You know, the psalmist said, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." Doesn't it say that? Put your hope in God. You got to talk yourself into it. And then if you look at Psalms 103, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, what? All your benefits. What are all the benefits, right? You could go through that whole list in Psalms 103. But here's what he says. So he says, Lord, because you love me, so he's talking to himself, Lord, because you love me, you're asking me to love these people that I don't know, right? You're asking me to love these people by being merciful as I endeavor to understand them. Lord, I hear you saying, Paul, be compassionate to them. Paul, be kind, be gentle, be humble. Show them how unoffendable you are in your patience, as you practice patience. Tolerate their weaknesses. Tolerate their weaknesses. And if you find fault, because you're going to find fault, right? If you find fault, show them the same forgiveness you received from me. Right? We make light of what we have to be forgiven, but we don't do the same when it comes to forgiving others. Right? I could even hear Jesus saying, Paul, do you remember that I rescued you on the road to Damascus? You were out to kill my people, and I rescued you. I didn't write you off, because many of the people would write you off and say, just kill the guy, because he's killing us. He said, instead, I won you over with my forgiveness. Paul, do you recall the conversations that you and I had for 3 days while you were blind? I spoke to you about my love for you. I went over those 8 items right there and probably a lot more. And I open up the scriptures that you've studied all your life to say, I'm the one you've been looking for, Paul. So the Holy Spirit took Paul through the process of how God had used these virtues to say, Paul, this is how I've loved you. Now, you need to turn around and tell that to them. Okay, God, I get it now. I'm in this. So he had to experience it first for himself so that he could say it with conviction. And he wrote them down, and he passed that on. So here's the thing. Paul was saying that loving people, is it easy to love people? It's not? Are you sure? It's not easy? It's hard? It's difficult, right? Sometimes you, but you know, I don't know. There's a saying that if, you know, you can say, you know, I really love you, but right now, today, I don't like you much, right? But here's the thing. Paul was saying, and maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Paul is saying it's easy to love people, and it's so simple, or maybe he's referring to being simple, not easy, but he's saying it's so simple to love people. It's as simple as putting on a robe. So you get your robe, right? Because when you put on a robe, we all know how to get dressed. If I can just find where it starts and where it begins, I'll be in good shape. Right. Real simple, right? But in most cases, you just put in one arm, right? You put in the one arm and then come around and you put in the other arm and see? That was simple, right? It wasn't easy, but it was simple. Right? So I've got my robe on, right? He says, just put it on. Just put it on every day. Put on that robe, you know? And so how difficult is it to put it on? Well, one arm at a time, right? So I just did the physical act of putting it on, right? But what happens in your mind and in your heart? Is it easy or simple to put on the robe mentally and emotionally? Because you see, you've got to decide that you're going to speak to your heart and you're going to speak to your mind and you're going to say, this is what you're going to do, Fernando, with your words and with your actions when that something that you are anticipating to happen in the future is going to happen again. Right? And so when that happens, you might say, well, you know, this sounds a little weird. Like you're way out there in some other planet. But you know, it's not really weird if I were to tell you. Every one of you get
in the morning when I rise.
In the negative sense.
In the morning.
Let me tell you a story. I worked at Mission Road. And at lunchtime, we have a half an hour for lunch. We got two microwaves. Wilson, you know about this, don't you? You got to wait your line to get that microwave. And when you get it, you may not get it right away.
Sit
your food down. And you say, well, I got to wait anyway. I got to go to the bathroom. And then you come out of the bathroom. Wash your hands, come back out. And one, the food's gone. Right? Or if your food's not gone, you've got your food, but you hit the button and you're going,
in the morning,
and nothing happens.
When I
why?
Arise.
Because somebody locked the door.
In the morning,
there is a code that you type in to lock the door. And people do that as a prank. Right?
When
right?
Arise.
Now, if it happens one time, no big deal. Would you please just unlock the thing, right? Because you got everybody else laughing at you. But if it happens twice, three times, four times in 1 week,
do you think
I'm going to prepare ahead of time mentally and emotionally? I'm going to have a conversation in my head about what I'm going to say to you if on the fourth time you do that again. And it's not going to be pretty, right? The words out of my mouth are not going to be pretty. Right? And hopefully it doesn't escalate to something physical that I'm going to do to you because what you did with my lunch. Right? So, how many of you had that dialogue in your head? Huh? Have you ever practiced that dialogue about what you're going to say to somebody when they do that thing again? See? And that's how you do it in the negative.
Give me G.
And so it's this thing that I'm, this idea of what I'm bringing to you. It's not.
Give me G.
You guys do it all the time. The question at hand is, should a negative experience get a negative experience? Should a negative experience get a negative experience? Paul doesn't think so. He's telling you from the jail. Right? And so it's time what we call in our book that we've been reading as men is flip the script. We're going to flip the script, which means this. We're going to turn it around. I shouldn't be living out of my negative experiences. Rather, I should be responding out of the love that God has given me. In other words, what has a greater influence in your life? The negative experience, changes you have with other people, or the love of God that He pours into you, that He has lavished upon you, that you call to remembrance when you use that as a way to say, you are not going to dictate how I live. God's love is going to dictate how you respond. I am not your puppet. Okay? I'm not your puppet. And so, here's the thing. His love should cause me to be merciful, compassionate, kind, and gentle. So, this is hard. So, when is it easy to take off the robe of love?
Sinking to rise.
When you're angry, right? So when they said they took my lunch, they locked my lunch in the microwave, and I can't get it out, and I can't remember the code. You know, I used to get teased and say, hey, your lunch is in the upper one, the one you can't reach, Fernando. So that's okay. I have a chair. I can get on the chair. But you know what I take off my robe? Take off my robe. Because I don't want anything to hinder me.
Nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Love
lifted me.
If it's a woman, what's she going to do? She's going to take off the earrings. Take off the jewelry. I'm ready to fight. You see the woman take off the earrings at home.
Else could help.
Better run away.
Love.
But see, all these things are about learning how. This is the method that you learn to fight against somebody. But Paul's not talking about that. Paul's talking about how do you fight for somebody? How do you fight on their behalf when they seem to be at odds with you? They're not happy with you. They're not talking nice to you. They're not treating you nice. No, they're saying nasty things about how do you fight for them. That's what Paul's trying to say. Right? And so when he says that, he wants you to teach. He wants to teach you how to fight in a way so that
marries my soul's best song.
If you watch The Chosen, you'll see every single disciple had to go to some kind of conflict before they got
belongs. Love
and so,
lifted me.
So in 2000,
love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When
and so
nothing
else could help.
Love lifted.
Why are you making me move to Virginia? You are ruining my life forever. I mean, it was that intense. So we had to sit down and have a conversation. I got a chance to fight for my daughter. So as we started talking, here's what I found out. Because my daughter's opposed to this decision, she begins to conspire with her friends
kneeling on this battleground,
and their parents,
just how much
so that
you've done,
she
knowing every victory was your
power in
you. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say.
Children, and they even moved away to D.C. for a while, and then they said, no, we want to go back to Virginia Beach because that's our home. My daughter's at home. That's her home there. Sometimes you have to figure out with the Holy Spirit how to fight for people. So I want to ask you a few questions. Do you feel that today you are wearing that robe of love? Yeah? Some of you may not feel that way, right? Or did you decide to leave it at home? I brought mine, but you know, I had trouble putting it on. Right? Did you leave your robe at home? You know? Because you got to decide that, right? Have you made a decision to put on that robe of love every day? And I tell you, I know that some of those virtues that are up there, you go ahead and forward the slide, huh? Some are easier and some are harder. So I want to ask you, I felt the Lord was saying there's two things that we want to deal with today. So I want you to be looking at that list as I ask these two questions. Number one, would you ask the Holy Spirit to show you how he has loved you through one of these virtues right now? Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you show me how you have loved me through one of these virtues? And the minute you see that, once the minute you feel that, that you know which one it is, just raise your hand. Holy Spirit, in the past, how have you loved me using one of these? Has he been merciful to you? Has he been compassionate? Has he been kind? Has he been gentle? Has he been unoffendable, practicing patience with you? Has he tolerated your weaknesses? Has he forgiven you? Raise your hand if that's where you feel like that. You've seen God encounter you with one of these eight things that are up there. Yeah? And if he hasn't and your hand's not up, you can always ask him, I want that. Will you encounter me? Will you show me specifically how you've loved me through one of these acts? Okay, that's the first question. The next question we need to ask is this. Of these eight, which one have you not put on lately? Don't answer me. Ask the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, which one of these have I not put on lately when it comes to you or it comes to other people? And if once you know it, don't say it out loud. Just raise your hand saying, I know which one I have not put on lately. Have you not forgiven someone the way you've been forgiven? Have you been offended and not practiced patience? Have you not tolerated weaknesses? Have you not been merciful to try to understand somebody else? All right, so you know what it is? Okay, so now I'm going to go in. So remember what that one is. Remember what that one is that God just gave you, all right? And we're going to move on to the next slide, and we're going to pray a prayer. And the prayer is this. Please forgive me for not putting on patience. You know, that would be, let's say, one for me. You know, I'd say, please forgive me for not putting on patience this morning because I've not been tolerating the weaknesses I found in the family of faith. And then I would say, show me someone, and so the Lord can show you who that is, with which you have not practiced that virtue. So, would you please pray with me that and just quietly mention the item that's there. Please forgive me for not putting on, and then fill in the blank. Would you say that with me? Please forgive me for not putting on, and then you fill in the blank. Lord, show me someone I haven't loved using one of these virtues. He can tell you right now. Holy Spirit can do things in a second. So pray that prayer. Show me someone I haven't loved using one of these virtues. Once you know who that person is, will you just raise your hand saying, I know who it is. Now, it might happen right now, it might happen a little bit later, but you continue asking the question until the Lord answers that for you. Here's the next thing. Make it a point to talk to that person in the near future. Don't let it go. Don't let it go by. And here's a prayer toward the end. Help me to purposely put that virtue on today, tomorrow, and the next day. I want to be dressed with my robe before I leave my home tomorrow and for the rest of the week. I want to be dressed with my robe before I leave my home tomorrow and for the rest of the week. And here's the last prayer. Help me become a disciple who continues to learn, to grow, and to love. And that verse I showed you earlier on the previous slide, it says, because you said, Lord, that love becomes the mark of true maturity. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. So Lord, this morning we say to you that we want to become disciples who learn, who grow, and become mature. We want to be disciples who love the way you have loved. But before that happens, Lord, we need you to love on us, in specifically in these ways, because you said to the 12, you said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Would you help us to receive that love that we may love others? That we may love others on a daily basis. Lord, remind us to put on that robe and saying, I am going to walk around with the virtues of God in loving other people, so they will always know that they were dearly and always loved by you. And I will be your hands and the feet to love them that way. Lord, I thank you for the people that are here this morning. I thank you for those who are watching online. I thank you, Lord, that you are in the business of transforming our lives by your love. You said that people will know that we are your disciples by the love that we have for one another. So we just say yes to that love, to receiving it, and to give it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You are dismissed, but if you want prayer, you can come see me or one of the elders. Is my mic off?